John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. Good evening and welcome back to the weekend edition of Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast ministry of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. And I am your host and my name is Pastor Paul Backhurst, and I am the minister of the gospel at our Calgary congregation. And so this evening we are concluding the second of a two-part message entitled Christ's Bitter Thirst. So we are this evening brought back to the cross of Golgotha, where we are to consider the struggles, the griefs, the anguish, and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ for all the sin of all his people. And the message is taken from John 19, verses 28 to 30. And we saw in the first part of this weekend edition that he firstly refused, and that secondly he revealed. This evening, with the Lord's gracious help, we will hear that he received. And when he received, we saw that there was abandonment, for he was forsaken. Secondly, we see that the accomplishment, because he paid for every sin. And thirdly, the assignation, that is, the entrusting of his soul to his Father. Now, we've had the scripture reading already for us at the top of the program. And after the preaching of God's word, you will hear a piece of sung worship, which is the famous hymn written by the reformer Martin Luther, that is A Mighty Fortress. That is sung for us by the United Presbytery Choir of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. The first verse is sung in the original German, but after that it's all in English. We will then have our normal Sunday evening psalm reading, and this week it is from Psalm 17. And after that we will hear Psalm 136, verses 3 to 5 and 7 to 9, sung from the 1650 metrical version of the Psalms, sung to the tune of Darwell, and that is sung for us by the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland Presbytery Choir. And so let us now go to our pulpit here in Calgary Free Presbyterian Church and hear the concluding part to the message called Christ's Bitter Thirst.
So he refused to quench that thirst. He revealed himself as the Passover lamb. But finally we see that he received. He did receive. He took drink, finally. The end of the 6 hours of suffering, 6 hours of salvation's work, 6 hours of taking and consuming the wrath of God, drinking the goblet of God's wrath dry, even to the dregs. We read in John 19 and 28 and verse 30, our verses for this evening. After this, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, as we read in that psalm, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And so Christ, having thirsted for hours, having refused the drink, the laced drink at the beginning of the crucifixion, having suffered the hot wrath of God for those many hours for the sins of his people, and just before his bodily death, he utters a few solemn words. But in order to do so, his dry and his parched vocal cords, they must be wetted, they must be quenched, is that thirst or that they must be slaked. There's an old word that nobody knows anymore. And so he speaks those very plaintive words in verse 28. I thirst. You can imagine him croaking them out, just enough to be heard by the Roman soldier there, or any of the lackeys. It may have even been John. It may have even been John or his mother. Because he speaks to them, and then he says, I thirst. And then it says, and they ran. You can't imagine a Roman soldier barely getting up off his backside to help this criminal in their eyes. But who would run? Who would run to help the Lord? John and his mum, they probably raced. And what does he receive? He receives a sponge course, this would be a natural sponge. And it was dipped in this warm, sour wine. And it was put upon a stick of bitter hyssop. And again, that just connects us straight away with the Passover lamb. It also connects us to the fact that Christ is the priest. Christ, our great high priest. And here's the difference between Christ, the great high priest, and all the high priests of the Old Testament. Christ, the priest, sacrificed himself. And therefore, as sacrificer and sacrificial victim, he consumes the bitter herbs. He takes that hyssop to himself. The sour, bitter drink that he has and must take, he consumes himself. He is our Passover. And he receives it. He receives this drink. And notice, by the way, that hyssop in the Middle East is not the hyssop that we have in Europe and maybe here in North America. It's not this small little leafy plant. The hyssop there in the Bible would be a small tree. So this is a branch, a twig off a tree that they've used to reach up to him. And so now he takes that sponge into his mouth and he sucks that drink. And he's able to speak more clearly, more audibly. He could therefore pray his last few words of truth before death. And all of his seven statements that he makes from the cross, these last three are very much spoken as the suffering Lamb of God. And notice, in many ways, all three of them are spoken to the Father. Spoken to the Father. Not to say that they weren't there because of one of them. He speaks very loudly and cries out as he says these words. But I think they're very much toward the Father, the dying Son to his heavenly Father, because of those last three words of Christ on the cross. The first are words of abandonment. Matthew 27 and 46 give us these words, taken from Psalm 22. And about the ninth hour, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so he calls out with those solemn words from Psalm 22, calling to God, why have I been abandoned? Why have I been forsaken? And so Christ, who has now become the sin bearer, as he's hanging on that tree, 6 hours long, suffering the wrath and the punishment for other people's sins, none of his own. Legally speaking, he had no right to be there. But for love's sake and for his people's sake, he walked there and he allowed himself. Surely you know that Christ had legions of angels that he could call upon at any moment and they would come and rescue him, take him off the cross and kill everyone in sight whom he desired. But he desired to die for the sins of his people. And part of that desire for his people is to experience something that Christ had never experienced before as a man, as the God-man. And that's the complete absence of his Father's presence. Because as the God-man, and he is as the God-man, it's Christ's humanity that bears the sin. It's Christ's humanity that is crucified. It's Christ's humanity that receives the wrath of God in his humanity, his body and his soul. His human body and his human soul, they are receiving the wrath of God. They are paying the punishment for men and women and boys and girls. And it's this humanity of Jesus Christ that experiences that deep pain of abandonment, of being absolutely forsaken. He knows the absence of that intimate fellowship. And what it is that Christ must suffer the breaking of fellowship that occurred between God and Adam at the fall. That communion, that fellowship, that friendship with God was lost. And he must restore all things. Behold, I make all things new, he says. And he does it in this regard. He does it in every regard. But also in this, that he gave up in his humanity. As God, he is sitting on the throne of God for all eternity. That's never changed. But as the God-man, he suffered that breaking of that fellowship to restore our fellowship. And if we do belong to Christ, then the bitter division that has been now absolutely and thoroughly dealt with on all these levels. And we have a right to a sweet and ever-growing unto eternity fellowship with God. And therefore, it's important that we as believers who are born again here in the meeting, listening and watching online, is that we make use of that privilege, because Christ suffered for that privilege. And we know, don't we, brethren and sisters, how it is when the Lord draws nigh in times of prayer and worship and under the word, or at home in times of meditation and devotion, when the Lord draws nigh, Christ paid for that privilege. Forsaken that we would be. The sixth word of Christ from the cross is of his accomplishment. The abandonment, but now the accomplishment. And we read there in verse 29, that there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And it's with a loud cry that the Lord said this. With a loud cry, we know this from Matthew or Mark, who says that with a loud cry, once he had taken that drink, verse 37 of Mark 15. So they've given him that drink, and then one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." That's where they thought when he was saying Eli, he was saying Elias. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. He cried with a loud voice. And this is what he cries. He declares by saying, "Is it finished?" that the sacrificial work as Savior and as the Lamb of God is now finished. And this is but one word in the Greek. And there's a few Greek words that you hear every now and again in the preaching. And this is maybe one of them, tetelestai in the Greek. It is finished. It is completed. You can also translate it, it is perfected, which is what perfected. It is perfect. It's done. I've done it, Father. I've saved them. I've paid to the last drop. They're thine. The work of salvation that the Father had appointed for the Son to do, he had completed perfectly to the last detail. And we've seen so many of the details already, and there are so many more. And he speaks this, he prays this to the Father. And although spoken to the Father, and yet others could hear it. And we can read it in the scriptures. It is for our benefit that Christ says this also. The painful and bitter work of paying for sin was now completed. Payment is fully made. He can say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I've made the payment." And therefore the gospel command can go out. Do you want peace with God? Because Christ has paid for it. Do you want your sins forgiven? Christ has shed his blood for it. Do you want the wrath of God turned away? Oh, the Lamb of God has been fully consumed for it. Do you want to escape the bitter sufferings of hell? Then come to Christ. Then come to him, repenting of your sin. John 6 and verse 37 and 38 recount what the Lord Jesus Christ says to those that come to him. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And then he says, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And that was finished. So we've had the abandonment for our acceptance and the accomplishment of the payment. But finally, and this is his last word from the cross, the assignation or assignation, the entrusting, the commending. Luke 23 and verse 46, we read this. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, and we know what he cried now, "It is finished." He said, on the second of his ghost passing and going to be with the Father, he says this, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost, literally his last breath. And so Christ committed his human spirit into the heavenly hands of his Father. His soul is in safe keeping, while his body is to be put in the grave. And yet there was no sin to be found in him. No sin at all. Peter writes of this. Peter, one of the apostles, in his first letter, he writes this, chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. He says about Christ, "Who did no sin, neither was guile, that is deceit and lying, found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled," when he was insulted, "reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And it is the healing of our sin-ridden souls that is to be found in this Savior. That is the healing that he's speaking of. Yes, bodily and mental diseases can be excruciating. They can be of a long time for our own feeling on earth. And yet it is for a short time, because disease of the soul is an eternal matter. Where the soul is diseased with sin, then it will last for eternity. And if you die in that sin, with that disease, with that moral disease, with that spiritual disease, dying unrepentant towards God and unbelieving towards Jesus Christ, then you cannot do what Jesus did. You cannot commend your spirit unto God. No, God must needs cast that which is unclean and wicked and full of death into hell. It's the only thing he can do. There is no place for the wicked with a holy God, which is why he must deal with your sin on this side of the grave, which is why Jesus came to be a man, to die on this side of the grave, to enter into the grave on our behalf, but to die and pay for that sin. No, you must not die in your sin. You must receive and accept the only payment that we've been looking at this evening. The bitter sufferings, the life, the death of Jesus Christ is the only payment that God has ordained. He made the plans with the Son from all eternity. The Son came and perfected them on the cross. And therefore, He is the only way. You must have Him as your Passover lamb, or you have nothing but your sin and God's wrath against you, and not just for 6 hours. And your suffering is no payment for sin. His suffering is a complete payment for sin. And it may be so that you consider repentance to be a bitter thing, but it's nowhere near as bitter as the pains of hell forever. But believer, as Christ commended His soul to the Father, so can we, with all assurance and all peace in our hearts, at that time commend our soul to God. If we're in bed, if we're in an accident, if we're under a rockfall, wherever we find ourselves and we know that life is ebbing away, we can commend our soul unto God. Because Christ did it, and we are to be found in Christ, and so we receive the same benefit. And so there are many things that Christ did for His people that we just follow in, and other things that Christ did for His people so that we would receive the opposite. So He's abandoned for our acceptance. He suffered intense bitterness that we would know eternal sweet and bliss. Revelation 21 and verse 6, and we'll close with this verse. And He said unto me, as Christ speaking, the end of Revelation, the end of time, to John, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. We not come and drink deeply of the living waters. Do not let the bitterness, the short-term bitterness of repentance stand in your way. No doubt you have 1,001 excuses in your head, maybe taught to you from the pulpit, why you will not come. But see what Christ says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water. He doesn't put a percentage on the thirst. He doesn't say you have to feel that thirst at 60%. Do you acknowledge that there is a thirst in you for Christ? Then come, because He has done all the work. It is finished. It is done. May God apply His word to your every soul this evening. Amen. Let's just briefly pray before our closing song worship. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for Jesus. We thank Thee for His sufferings. We thank Thee for His faithfulness. Oh, what a Saviour. A Saviour to do what He says He will do. And He has done it. And He has done it perfectly. He has done it completely. Oh Lord, there's nothing that we could do. He has done it all. And how well He has done. Oh Lord, that we can cast our sin and our future and our fears and all upon Him. For He is a complete Saviour. Lord, have mercy upon the souls of those who have listened or will yet listen to this message. May it please Thee to grant Thy Spirit to open hearts and to convert. It is the work of Thy Spirit, oh, to apply this work of Christ. Lord, have mercy, save souls, revive and restore the backslidden, and cause Thy people to rejoice as we've learned a little bit more of Jesus this evening. For we pray only in His blessed and victorious name. Amen. Receive the benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer, that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvellous loving kindness, O thou that savest by the right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat, with their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps, they have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast ministry of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. It is our earnest desire and prayer that the Lord has been pleased to bless you with the going forth of his word, that the Lord will be pleased to convict and convert those who are outside of Christ and therefore under God's wrath. We do also desire that God's people will be edified in the truth of the scriptures, that they will learn more of Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Now, Calgary Free Presbyterian Church is located in Calgary, and our address is 123 Pinetown Place, Northeast. It's in Calgary, Alberta. Our postcode is T1Y for Yankee, 5J for Juliet 1. Our regular services are 10 a.m. on the Sunday morning for the adult Bible class. So that's a time of teaching in Reformed doctrine for adults. 11 a.m. is our time of morning worship. And then at 6 p.m. is the second and a different service for our time of evening worship. Also at Tuesday at 7 p.m. we have our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting. Now, with the present new lockdown restrictions, place is limited to our regular congregants. But we trust in the will of the Lord that these restrictions will be lifted soon. Let us pray to that effect. In any case, may the Lord be pleased to protect and to bless and encourage and save to his glory and for your eternal good. Thank you for listening. May God bless you and yours.